The Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Overstock.com, your online outlet store. Savings up to 80%. Log on today, Overstock.com.
This is The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, coming up, Pastor William Renick will be on our program today to talk about celibacy for our kids. Is it advisable when you take a good long look at what's happened to Pope John Paul? Also, Steve Bozell on a class action lawsuit he is planning against the Chicago Cubs, Kobe Bryant, and his next-door neighbor, Roy Hutchins. That's all ahead on The Phil Henry Show. And as we said to you last night, and you didn't want to listen to me, the Cubs suck. Oh, God. Oh, God. It has to be said for all of those weeping, crying. Did you see these people on television? Yeah, I get it already. I know all about the Cubs. I know why they're popular. I know why the Red Sox are popular. They represent something that is gone and that will never come back. They represent the pure, innocent days of baseball past. They represent the crack of the bat, the smell of the mowed grass, the 20,000, 30,000 seat stadium. Bottled beer in the stands. Yeah, okay. Taking a trolley car to the game. Those days are dead. Over. That's an America that doesn't exist anymore. The America that exists today is better. I think, anyway. I happen to like the Staples Center. I happen to like the new Georgia Dome. But in any event, the Cubs represent that to people, and they keep that near and dear in their hearts, and they do so at the expense of realizing the truth about their baseball team. It's a horrible baseball organization, and it has been for years. Years and years. Cub fans seem to delight in supporting a team that has a history of futility and frustration that would make the average baseball fan vomit for days. The Boston Red Sox have been to a World Series in recent times. At least they've rewarded their fans with a trip every now and again to the series. The Cubs haven't been to a World Series since 1945. Let me put that in perspective. I wasn't born yet. They haven't won a World Series since 1908. Let me put that in perspective. That's before either one of my parents were born. The Chicago Cub organization is horrific. They pay their fans loyalty back with bad baseball season after bad baseball season. You guys think I'm just saying this to come out of the gate with something shocking or something that'll piss people off, don't you? This is something that I feel from the very bottom of my heart, and it's something that has needed to be said. I'm a sports fan, bottom line. I learned a long time ago, I don't let my heart get in the way of my head when it comes to sports. And bottom line, the Chicago Cub baseball organization is a piece of crap from beginning to end, from the top all the way down to the bottom. I don't know what was worse, when Wrigley owned them or when the Chicago Tribune owns them. The city of Chicago, if you want to go all the way, is a terrible sports town. In terms of the way their teams reward the fans, the Bears go to a Super Bowl, oh well. I mean, it's a red-letter day. The Bulls, yeah, they won a series of championships. Good for them. They sucked beyond words for years before that. Chicago's sports teams are mediocre at best. Everybody knows that. But the Cubs break all records for it because the Cubs, you know, you wouldn't believe this stuff. I mean, you got people like George Will. He's a writer for some right-wing newspaper, isn't he? And he's a Cub fan. He wears his Cubby hat. And whoever, Mabich and Nancy Reagan's a Cub fan. Chiang Kai-shek is a Cub fan. Indira Gandhi was a Cub fan. Adolf Hitler followed them whenever he could get them on cable. Everybody's a Cub fan. And how do they repay their fans year in and year out with miserable, rotten baseball? And this has to be said. That kid that interfered the other night, I mean a kid... You get me another home run ball, I'll pay you $1,000. That kid's, you know what? He represents? He represents every tired excuse Cub fans have used for how bad their team is. Some guy interfered with a pitch. Somebody didn't steal a base. Something else happened, and they got robbed this way and that way. You guys got robbed. You're not getting robbed by fans interfering with a pitch. You saw that poor kid's statement. He's sick as a dog because he did it. He's sorry he ever even went to Wrigley Field. He's sorry he even lives in Chicago. He wishes to God he never was born. Like, as if that kid didn't interfere with that pitch, the Cubs would be going to the World Series. Roger Wilco and out. Look at the Cubbies blow, and here's why. You want to know why? I'm going to give it to you, and you're not going to like it, but if they do this one thing, the Cubs have got a shot at not winning just a World Series. They've got a shot at creating a great baseball dynasty, but they must do this. and you won't like it if you're a Cub fan, or even if you're just a, you know, a lover of baseball tradition. They have to do this. Maybe I'll just save it for after the break, the thing they have. No, I'll tell you right now. They have to do this one thing in order for them to begin to create a baseball dynasty. They must sever their ties with their loser past. They've got to blow up and bulldoze Wrigley Field.
All right, thank you.
Wrigley Field represents nothing but loser baseball. It represents nothing but loser fans. It represents nothing but drunks. And it's yeah, okay, isn't that just charming? It's in a neighborhood. Hey, you know, Stan, we love Wrigley. It's in the neighborhood. And, well, so what, man? So you got a you got a home run ball every now and again? I go to Cubby Bear Lounge across the street. Chicago's great. Chicago's, huh? We got ivy on the wall. Who else got ivy? Yeah, well, what is it with you guys and that ivy? Cut the freaking ivy. What is that? Hey, the ball gets lost in the ivy. That's a ground rule double. Nobody knows that, see? But I know that. Ground rule double. Whoopee-doo, man. Ground rule double. Hey, guess what? We're going to build a ballpark, and I'm going to lose the ball in the garage, okay? That'll be a ground rule double, too. And then maybe we can lose it in Ma's hedge. How about the strawberry patch? What do you think we're? What do you think this is, anyway, huh? Out down there on a hammock down in Hillbilly, Mississippi? Well, playing, you know, get our uniforms dirty, and then Ma's going to call us in for some chicken? We got ivy. This is 2003. Get rid of that ballpark. You want to ruin all the tradition of baseball? Ruin the tradition of baseball? The tradition of baseball was ruined years ago. It was ruined in 1973 when a guy named Andy Messersmith said, guess what, I'm a free agent. Park it up your you-know-what. Thank you, Kurt Flood. But everybody gets on top of the roof. We drink beer and everything. It's a lot of fun. Drink beer. Wow, good for you. You drink beer on a roof. Come on over to my house, man. We get up on a ladder. You can go on the roof of my house and drink freaking beer. And I guarantee you there's a lot more interesting things to look at my house on the roof than there is from a rooftop around Wrigley Field. Like what? There's a few jackrabbits running around, man. It's got to be better than any Cub game. I got rattlesnakes and stuff. Occasionally a coyote. Occasionally a Federal Express truck goes by. That sounds more interesting. Okay. Bulldoze that. We got. Also, you can come over, drink beer on the roof of my house, and count the rabbit crap out in my backyard. All right, I'm there. You got it. Bulldoze that ballpark. Get in the 20th century. Dry your tears. Quit it with all of this to the tradition of baseball. Oh, my God. See, it wouldn't be so bad. You say to me, I know what you're saying. You're saying, why can't you just let people have their fantasies, Phil? Why can't you just let people enjoy the lovable losers, the Cubs? Why? I'll tell you why. Because this stuff doesn't end there. It infiltrates society. People's attitudes and bad feelings begin to spread. People get knifed. People get shot. People miss work because of these stupid games. If it was just limited there to the ballpark and then everybody went out and got a life, that wouldn't be so bad. We're still working on getting Bob Costas on. Boy, there's the guy to talk about with that baseball. This guy Costas, he's the guy that's Mr. Baseball Tradition. His big hero was Mickey Mantle. Why? Well, he batted a ball, and whatever he did, Mickey Mantle also just ran through about six different livers. But what is that between friends, right? Bulldoze that ballpark, Chicago Cubs, and start giving your fans something to actually have some fun with instead of your loser brand of baseball. And Dusty Baker, congratulations. Another National League champion taken down the toilet by Dusty. Hey, Dusty, maybe you ought to get your kid back there what did you have that kid being, a ball boy or a bat boy? I've never heard anybody, even my good friend Mark Newman sitting in front of me as a Giants fan. What is it with that numbskull letting his little kid running out there? He almost got killed. That JT Snow, if he hadn't grabbed him, the kid would have gotten run over. He would have looked like he just got off the Staten Island Ferry. Anyway, so Dusty took another National League champ into the toilet. Who's it next year, Dust? If I may call you that. As in ashes to ashes. Email address, but, oh, maybe you guys should dig up Harry Carey and make him a tourist attraction. At least it'd be something interesting to see. How about stuffing him and mounting him just like they did Trigger? And you can have a little speaker in the back of his head going, hi, everybody, I'm Harry Carey. Hi, Harry Carey with Steve Stone here at Wrigley Field.
Hey, Harry, it looks like a...
Well, I'll tell you, and a happy birthday to Barry Brown out there in Bloomington. Harry was great. I enjoyed, you know, and talk about a lush. He's the only guy on radio or television that could get on the air just hammered, and it's cool. And he's got those big shades like he's a porn director, like he directs pornography. Did you see the big-ass shades that Harry Carey? Looked like a guy is just, let's see it again, this time more butter. All right, our email address, you know what I'm saying? I saw the Cubs, I couldn't believe it myself. I don't care. But when they lost, I said, you got to be kidding. All right, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. phs@philhenryshow.com. And, of course, our website is www.philhenryshow.com. Now, today, Pastor William Rennick joins us. He is a great man from Joyful Union Congregation. We'll also have on Steve Bozell, who's a construction contractor from Corona, California. He is the first, and I think there may be more. This guy wants to file a class action lawsuit against, you got it, the Chicago Cubs for breaking his heart again. We'll be right back. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
A general, a United States Army general who said, and this guy's name is General G. Boykin. And, Boykin? No, Boykin. Boinker? Anyway, the guy said that we are engaged in a battle against Satan over in the Middle East. Pentagon leaders on Thursday spoke up in support of a top general who told church audiences the war on terrorism is a battle with Satan and that Muslims worship idols. Oh, yeah. Now, that's what I call, I'm telling you, man, I mean, I may not necessarily agree with a guy, but I'd say for a warrior, the guy's a general. The guy's a soldier. He's not supposed to be diplomatic. Get a load of that. What do you think of that one? You're not supposed to be diplomatic. You got to know how to drop a freaking bomb on a target. You got to know how to take the enemy and turn him into mush. That's what you got to know how to do. I loved it. When I saw it, I loved it. Now, let me explain something. I am not a necessarily a religious man. I do not consider myself a Christian. I have great respect for all religions, but I also have little to no respect for any people who wage wars in the name of religion, who co-opt religions, etc. And you might say, well, then how come you like this general, but you don't like Muslims? Well, guess what? I pick and choose my battles. And I use people for whatever purpose I need to use them for. I think it's great. I think pissing the Muslims off is a fantastic thing. Because so far, what they're able to do is fly a couple airplanes into a building, pump their fist in the air, and scream and yell. And then, of course, I get the phone call yesterday from the Palestinian gentleman, very nice guy, who said, how dare you think that all Muslims are like that. Well, why shouldn't I think that way, that whenever I hear a public statement by a leader of the Islamic faith, it's always putting down something we did, or something that we have said, or some way that we have treated Muslims. But when you take a look at the Middle East, and you look at the utter mayhem that is being created in the name of their religion, and the mullahs and the sheikhs that are doing things in the name of their religion, they don't say anything. They say nothing. You want to know why? Because if they talk out about those guys, they'll get a bullet, probably. Talk out here in America, and you're free to go home and have yourself a nice big falafel. But you get a bullet over there if you speak out against Islam. See, that's what you got. That's democracy in action over in the Middle East. You're free to speak, and I'm free to shoot you for it. So this general said that basically he knew that when he was in Somalia, he said of a 1993 battle with a Muslim militia leader in Somalia, I knew that my God was bigger than his. I knew that my God was a real God and his was an idol. Oh, baby. See, guys, this is what you call trash talk. This is, in other words, trying to piss the enemy off. Get him to make a move. And there are Muslim extremists today, very predictably, saying that the man should be fired. And then we hear these statements from Muslim activists who say, but the Quran says Muslims believe in the same God as Jews and Christians and so on and so forth. Well, if that's true, what are you talking to us about it for? Why don't you remind those clowns over there about it? I mean, they're making a mockery out of your religion. I don't know whether you care or not. I don't even know whether or not you necessarily disagree with them, because everything anybody who is of Islamic faith in this country ever does is when some American comes out and says, that is wrong, you are not supposed to say this. The Quran says you'll be smitten down. You are a dirty, filthy piece of... I hate you. Get out of here. Wait a minute. Why don't you tell Osama that?
Who?
Yeah, uh-huh. Osama bin Laden. Remember that raghead? That's the guy that says he believes in Allah.
Forget it. It's a different subject.
Yeah. Different subject.
Look, let's sit down with a cup of coffee.
Those guys over there are the guys that flew the airplanes in here.
But Israel's great.
What are you guys going to start it with Israel again? Jesus. Look, I don't see any Israeli civilian walking into some falafel bar in the West Bank and blowing himself up. Do you?
But we don't have an army. We have nothing. We can fight.
That's another thing. I love this one. You know, America gives all these weapons to the Jews and we have nothing. Well, here's what happened. The Arab countries... they threw in with Russia, with the Soviet Union. They were getting their weapons from the Soviet Union. Egypt was getting its weaponry from the Soviet Union and the communist bloc. So was Jordan. So was Syria. Syria was so tight with the Soviets, man. You'd think they were wearing those funny fur hats, those guys. You'd think they were doing that little kick dance. You know, that whole, what's that thing with the feet? The babushka deal? All those Arabs were thrown in with the commies. Well, guess what, baby? You backed a losing horse. Is that our problem? Is that our fault? The Israelis hooked up with a rising star. You guys hooked up with a crashing jet, if you'll pardon the analogy. So that's all of a sudden our fault, huh? We got to be fair with you guys. Here's the Arab world. Kick their ass, and they cry about how we should have given them more guns. Then we kick their ass again. Then they cry about how they should have had even more guns. Then they get their ass kicked again, and then they squeal about how they need to have bombs. Then we give them bombs, and then they get their ass kicked, and they scream, well, they want nuclear bombs. Well, no, you don't get to have nuclear bombs. You can't do anything with the stuff you got right now. What makes you think we want to give Iran a nuclear program or any of you clowns down there? You guys don't know which end of a rifle a bullet comes out of. And you're going to get a nuclear bomb? Ha, 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 ha.
But with a nuclear bomb, then we can kill Israel.
How do you know you'll even be dropping it on Israel? You might drop it on yourselves. You might drop it on Egypt.
You making fun of me?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm making fun of you, you idiot. So this general, he comes out, he says they're a bunch of Satan worshipers. They worship false idols. And if the United States wins the war against terrorism, it'll be a victory for God. And if the Muslims win, it'll be a victory for Satan. I say, all right. Nice going, baby. I support it 1,000%. Okay? I like nuts like this. I like soldiers that are psycho. I don't want them as psycho as that guy in Dr. Strangelove. Remember that guy? I can no longer abide the pollution of my precious bodily fluid. The guy thought his sperm was contaminated with fluoride or something. It was just whack. But anyway, I like a good psycho soldier. All right, coming up, we've got Kobe Bryant news. And are silicone boobs coming back? Yes, they are. Because guess what? They're not bad for women. The FDA screwed up. The U.S. government screwed up. Good rock-hard breasts are back, guys. That's another one we got to give our hand to. Thanks a lot. 1-800-449-8686. Email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now, Kobe Bryant's love tips. Be the first on the line at 1-800-449-8686.
Kobe's ready to answer your questions.
Hey everybody, this is Kobe Bryant, and I'm here to answer your questions on love. Notice I didn't say love, I said
love.
Now, I don't know how to put this to you, but I'm a brother, and you see me play basketball, but a particular skill that
I have a way with women.
Let's take a call from some love-starved young brother out there. How you doing, and what's your question?
Yeah, Kobe, you're the best Laker that there ever was. And also, I know a girl down the street, and I'd like to see her butt, but she won't show it to me. What should I do?
Well, you know, that's a good question.
Let me tell you what you do. You invite her over to your house, and you say, hey, baby, how you doing? You go, baby, why don't you give me a hug? You know, you just work up kind of slow-like.
Yeah, I got it. I'm writing it down.
You work it up kind of slow-like like that, you know, and then you say, you want to make love.
You do what?
You say the following thing. You say, you want to make love.
You want to make love.
You got it, brother, yeah. That's right. And then she'll look at your eyes and say, you're a brown-eyed handsome man, ain't you? And you say, yeah.
And then you turn her around and bend her over a chair.
Okay, thanks, Kobe.
All right. A lot of men want to know, how do I keep it going? You know what I'm saying? I'm a pipe-laying man. I'm a hell of a man. They call me 60-minute man, you know. 60 minutes of loving, and 60 minutes of hugging, and 50 minutes of blowing my top. Let's talk to this young man. How you doing today?
I'm doing really good, Kobe. Thanks for being there. Great call as always. There's a girl in the office. How do I tell her I want to have sex for with her?
All right, that's a good question. How does a man walk up to a woman and say, I'd like to lay some pipe? Well, here's what you do. Say, honey, come into my hotel room.
Put your ass up in the air and bend over that chair.
Thanks a lot.
Now, let's talk about that staying power. How you doing?
I'm fine, Kobe. I'm 71 years of age. I've got a stewardess for a girlfriend. She's 20 and... oh, please, dear Jesus, let it last longer than a minute.
Well, I know what you're saying. Me? I can go 5 minutes.
Jesus.
That's right. That's the thing I got, you know, I go 5 whole minutes with a woman. See, what happened is, she consented to have sex with me, you know?
Yes,
So I said, all right, get ready for me to bring it. Get ready for me to bring it.
So I should say, get ready for me to bring it.
No, that's what I said, man. Just listen, man.
And I brought it.
For 5 whole minutes, huh?
5 minutes.
Man, she loved it so much, she went out of the room crying. She beat her face against the wall on the way out, man. That's how she got the bruises. So good. And so now, hold on for a minute.
Yeah.
Kobe, this is Vanessa. Who are you talking to?
Nothing, honey. I'm just,
What are you freaking out?
No, I'm just, trimming some pubic hair. I mean, I'm, playing with myself. Never mind, honey.
Kobe's been caught by his wife, but he'll be back next week with more lies. Whatever.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kobe. Thank you, man. 5 minutes. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Ladies, I ask any reasonable person out there, the latest on Kobe Bryant, there ain't nothing latest on him. He's got that lawyer, man. Like I said, she's swimming through some pretty good sewers to find a way out of this trap for this guy. But let me just give it to you straight here, in case you haven't heard, ladies. This young lady that Kobe Bryant ran into there, and I want you to think about this. All you Laker fans. All you Laker fans, think about this one. We mentioned it yesterday. Kobe Bryant ran into a young lady who was willing to have sex with him, and he gave it to her for 5 minutes. That's what I call one hell of a night, right? Now, I don't know about you, but me, I might want to, you know, maybe not 5 minutes, but like five times. Maybe send out for a little room service. I don't know. But then I don't know enough about these matters to know really what I'm doing. I mean, Kobe's a young man. He knows what's up these days. Young women, all they want it for 5 minutes, and boom, goodbye, get out. So that's the big consensual sexual encounter. If you ask me, that's what Mackie's got to explain right there. Mackie's going to have a hard time explaining that one. And I'll give you one more little problem she's going to have. And if it sounds to you like I don't quite believe Kobe's story, you're right. You're so right. So all you Phi Beta Kappas out there that work in sports talk radio, all you geniuses over there who are Laker fans, listen to this one and give me an answer on this one. You get that woman on the stand, or you get Kobe on the stand. Of course, if he's smart, he won't take the stand. You're the DA, you say, okay, Mr. Bryant, you had consensual sex. That's right. Do you think she enjoyed herself? Objection, Your Honor. That has irrelevant. Well, Your Honor, I'm going to his state of mind at the time. Okay, I'll overrule the objection. I don't know whether she had fun or not. Well, Mr. Bryant, you're experienced with women. Wouldn't you think that you'd know if a woman enjoyed your attentions or not? Yeah, I suppose. All right, would you say that she enjoyed your attentions? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Did she seem to enjoy your attentions or did she not? No, she did not. Oh, really? Why not? Well, she was upset. Well, what was she upset about? Having your hand around her throat? Or just the fact that it was only 5 minutes long of that good loving? No candles, no massages, no wine? Maybe a little cable porn in the room? No, just 5 minutes over a chair. Yeah, I guess she'd be upset about that. Is that it, Mr. Bryant? That she wanted more of you? That you were just so marvelous, but you were unable to perform? Isn't that right, Mr. Bryant? You're unable to perform with a woman for longer than 5 minutes. Now, wait a minute. You're making me look like some kind of a sissy. Well, which is it, Mr. Bryant? Did she not want your attentions, or did she? Was she crying because she was raped? Or was she crying because she could only do it for 5 minutes? Because you're impotent? Because you're limp? Because you're only a point guard? There you go, man. I'd have that guy. He'd be crying when he got off the stand with me. Kobe, I'd have you in tears. And all I can say is, and I know Vanessa, his wife, would, if she's smart, she doesn't listen to any talk radio, but Ms. Bryant, I've seen you on TV. You look like a beautiful young lady. You seem to be a well-spoken young woman. You seem to be very much in love with the man. I understand that there was some kind of an emotional issue last spring with regard to the status of your marriage, but may I make a suggestion? You're very young. You have a beautiful child. Kick that bum out while you still have the opportunity. Kick that bum out of the house. Forget about whether he raped a woman or not. But if this is the way that he treats your marriage, if this is, I mean, it wasn't even a love affair. It wasn't even a one-nighter. It was a five-minuter. If this is the respect that he has for you, his child, and his marriage, he's a young man, I understand. Young men make mistakes. But mistakes do have consequences. And if that's the way he treats a beautiful woman like you, believe me when I tell you, there's a lot of guys out there with more money than Kobe Bryant and that are better looking, and quite frankly, you don't have to reach so high to kiss them. So I'd suggest that you throw that bum out on the street with all of his crap. He can bunk in with Shaq. And go about the business of rebuilding your life while you're still young. Thank you, and good night. Oh, I didn't mean that music, Ms. Bryant. I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. Our Best of the Year 2003 CD is coming soon. It's called The Death of Talk Radio. That's our 2003 CD, the new one, coming soon, The Death of Talk Radio. Look for it. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Dean Wheeler was visiting our program. Dean was a professor of social studies who said that really couples are not having as much sexual contact recently as the result of, well, an equal failing. Men need to fantasize more about other women, and women need to learn how to apply makeup.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Women do not make love to their husbands just because they're their husbands. I don't appreciate being called an old shoe, an old comfy sock. If my husband did not take care of himself, was not clean, did not bathe, and did not show me that he loved me, I wouldn't want to have sex with him either. This is like 1950 crap. Women need to stay home and sexy underwear to have their husband appreciate them. I'm sorry, but I think somebody would need to get a new husband.
What do you think of that, Dean?
I understand the lady Smith's understanding what I'm saying. I'm not saying that women are to be kept under thumb. I'm saying that this is an equal partnership.
It's not equal if the men don't have to take care of themselves to be attractive to their wives.
But mostly, you know as well as I do, that women are not visual. Women are more emotional. And as long as the man, is there for them, they get turned on by him. Men,
you're making generalizations that are totally off base. You can't say that about all
Well,
women.
You know that your husband shows that he loves you just by staying faithful to you, by coming home from work every night. But what do you do to show your husband that you love him, you see?
I take care of myself. I come home from work every night and from school every night.
Right.
And I treat him with respect,
right,
which is how he treats me.
Right. Do you take care of your hair, your breath?
Of course I do, and so does he.
All
it's a two-way street.
Do you know how to apply makeup?
No. Matter of fact, I haven't worn makeup in 17 years.
Okay. That's what I would call what we call a red flag. All right. Is your breath, do you use breath spray? Do you,
I think these questions are getting a bit personal.
Well, I'm sorry. What I'm basically saying is this. Women, I know you don't like the comfy shoe, but I always look at my wife. She's just a good, comfortable canvas house coat. It's something I can throw on. You know what I'm saying?
I feel really sorry for your wife. I'm sorry.
Well,
if my husband thought I was like a comfy house coat, I'd be really insulted.
I
have a brain. I'm intelligent. I talk to him. We carry on conversations. I just don't sit around and cater to his needs.
No, but listen, this is what gets me turned on for my wife. Go ahead. See, that's Britney Spears. And I can imagine that my wife is Britney Spears if I close my eyes and, you know.
Okay. She hung up.
Oh, she hung up because she can't take it. Will you excuse me for a moment?
Mr. Wheeler?
Okay, I won't be a moment. Took care of that.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah. Professor of social studies. Sick freak. Up there in Mill Valley, man. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Coming up is Pastor William Renick on the Pope and how he is a bad example for kids trying to remain celibate. He's been celibate, and, well, just look at the state of him. Also, we'll have Steve Bozell with a very interesting lawsuit he's filing against the Chicago Cubs. You know, we got a supermarket strike here in California. This is a tough one for people to understand. I know that it's spreading across the country. We've got, in fact, the Teamsters may go out in sympathy or in solidarity. You know, every time people talk union, everybody hates unions. And here's why people, the only time anybody ever knows anything about a union is when they go out on strike. Otherwise, you wouldn't know the average union member among you. They don't walk around with a sign that says, "Hi, I'm in a union." He may be a guy that is a good friend of yours. He may be a guy that's a great neighbor. He may be a great citizen. He may be volunteering to help people, teaching people, helping children, helping the homeless, blah, blah, all that nice stuff that we say we respect. But the only time we know they're union members is they're walking a picket line with a sign. And Americans, especially Californians, I don't know, and Floridians too. I lived in Miami, which is got a pretty strong union base in Miami, but the rest of Florida hates unions. And the reason why they do is they've got that very strong conservative sensibility, which has something to do with the boss man is always right. And out here in California, there's a lot of so-called independent thinkers who, you know, unions take organizing. And organizing means you have to know your neighbor. And knowing your neighbor means you have to outreach in the community. And, well, that just is not the history of California. This was a state founded by a lot of insular Midwesterners who wanted to come out here, have their ranch, and not even know who was next door. But I got to tell you something. These workers are on strike because they don't want more. They want to keep from giving back benefits. Vons, Albertsons, Safeway, these are huge, huge grocery chains. Safeway is the largest, I believe, the largest grocery chain in the world. In the world. Vons, enormous. Albertsons, enormous. But they want these workers to give back health benefits that they earned. Now, there's a picket line out in front of a Vons market that we shop at, my wife and I. I'm not going to cross it. I'm a union member. I'm a member of a union affiliated with the AFL-CIO. I will not cross that picket line. And if I hear about Vons hiring scabs, which I understand that's what they're doing, I'll never shop there again. And I would advise every single person listening to me who's in a union never to shop at Vons ever again as long as you live if they hire scabs. And I'm saying this knowing full well that Vons may be an advertiser on my show. I don't know, but it's an insult to me as a union member. It's an insult to me as a union member to hear that Vons is forcing workers to possibly give back health benefits or otherwise forcing people out onto a picket line when they are an enormous grocery chain. They've got a lot of capital. They're not losing money. The problem is, folks, that what we get into is this. We get into, well, the profit margin isn't as big as we'd like it to be. So that's why people have to give back health benefits or people may lose their jobs because the profit margin isn't as big as you wanted it to be. And your first obligation is to your shareholders. I understand that. I understand you need to earn money. You also need to help out the people that work for you because it's one of the reasons why you do well. So really, not that Vons cares, but my wife, myself, and my kids, and Albertsons, you too, Safeway, believe me what I tell you, if you put scabs in that store, I'll never shop there again, ever. Now, it probably doesn't mean anything to you, because hiring scab labor is probably de rigueur for you, but we won't. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Pope John Paul is celebrating his 25th anniversary. Pastor William Renick, among other dignitaries, ministers, religious clerics from the United States, will be traveling to Rome to celebrate that with the Pope. But you have made statements, public statements, that you think the Catholic Church has abused Pope John Paul. Can you tell us why?
So first of all, let me thank you for bringing me on your program. I think that Pope John Paul, who indeed is celebrating his 25th anniversary, has been badly used by the Catholic faith. Now we tell our children to be celibate. We tell our teenagers to be celibate. We tell these children not to have sex until they enter the holy union of matrimony. And what we do is we show them as an example of celibacy, we show them this man, Pope John Paul. Now, I believe Pope John Paul is a good man, if not a great man. But it is obvious that celibacy has not been good for his physical health. I think we can all see the hand of God in this. I believe that...
All right, to interrupt you, Pastor, you saying the Pope is showing young people that celibacy is ultimately bad for them?
Again, so I think that if God were trying to send us a message, we see the Pope every day, we see him frail. We see him having difficulty with speech, having difficulty with his ability to move. You can't understand what the man is saying, this wonderful man, who I think is condemned to a life without love by the Catholic Church.
Well, that is not...
But Phil, I want to say something else. I think that the people who are Catholic in this country need to take a good long look at the very man who leads their religion and say, look what celibacy has done to him. Why would you want a child to look like that? Why would you want a child to be pitched over in a chair? Why would you want a child?
Pastor.
No, but why would you want that? To me.
Pastor, I just want to ask you.
To me, it's an abomination that we are here at Los Angeles Airport.
Pastor, I got to interrupt you. I don't want you to give a sermon here.
No, I'm not giving a sermon. I'm telling you, you asked my opinion.
I know, but I gotta jump in with a question.
But I just wanna say, Phil, we are at LA International Airport. We are going to fly to Rome, Italy. And I wanna celebrate the 25th anniversary of this great man. But look at him. Man ain't well. Cause he doesn't have sex.
That's not the Catholic Church's fault. Okay.
All I'm saying, I'm a man of God.
No, that Pope John Paul is a man who is infirm. He's a man who's in his 80s. He is a man.
The man, they roll that man out. He looks terrible. All I'm saying, I'm a man of God. Yeah, I'm a wife. I've got a wife.
Well, you are a Protestant cleric here. You're a Protestant minister. He's a Roman Catholic.
I got a wife. There are many men who minister to people, have beautiful conjugal relationship with a wife, and yet I can still be a man of God. I'm a minister of God. And I'm a lover of women. And there are many men like Billy Graham is a man of God. Yeah, he got a woman. Oral Roberts a man of God. He got a woman.
I understand.
And that Ernest Ainsley. He's a man of God. He got a woman. I think it's insulting to say if you're a man of God, you can't have no woman.
Look at
Billy Graham. Billy Graham. And yet we tell our children to be celibate. And the example we give them of how great that Pope John Paul is, he can barely breathe.
Then why do we tell our kids to be celibate when you said there are better examples of men and women engaging in a sexual life?
Bill, I don't know. I have prayed over that.
I mean, look at this. We tell kids to be celibate, and yet there's your wife, and you say Billy Graham and his wife.
I don't know. I have prayed over it. I can't get an answer.
You've prayed, but...
I can't get an answer, which makes me think that maybe that's not God's will at all, but in some ways the work of the devil.
And so celibacy is the work of the devil.
All I'm saying, look at the condition of Pope John Paul. That a life of celibacy would do that to a man? That's got to be the devil's hand.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Rennick.
Phil, I'm in a public area. Can I, if I can move over to a different area, it'd be a little quiet.
That's fine. I'm going to get the phone number out, Pastor. 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Rennick is on to say that Pope John Paul is not good for kids because he's an example of celibacy, and if he's an example of celibacy, then kids shouldn't be celibate. This is really not, Pastor Rennick, you there?
I'm right here.
This is really not an issue of Catholic or Protestant.
Well, Phil, what I'm saying is, I don't know if celibacy is the right way for a child to go. I prayed on it the other night.
Right.
And I said, God, give me a sign and tell me, is celibacy the way to go? And he didn't give me jack squat. I think it's wrong. I think it's the work of the devil.
Would you encourage kids to abandon celibacy?
No, what we're planning on doing through our Sunday youth ministry is we got a class on the possible debilitating effects of celibacy. We'll be giving this to the kids and show them the other side. We have to show them what it's done to the Pope so they have all the information. There's going to be a slideshow showing recent pictures of Pope in his chair, not in control of his functions. Man ain't got control of his bowels. And then a discussion group, and then kids can talk about this openly. There's a certain amount of acting out that we encourage, because
All right, hold on. You are having a slideshow for the kids to show them the debilitating effects of celibacy?
Absolutely, because we have to show them that we are not hypocrites. We've told them, don't you go out and have sex before you marry. Now they're in the public, look at him. Man, they had a woman, look at him. He looked like, you know, he's like half the size he was 2 weeks ago.
Are the parents going to be present at this?
I'm sorry?
Are the parents going to be present at this seminar?
Phil, I prayed on that one. I have to tell you, I pray on it every time I talk to our young people in our youth ministry, and I ask God, please tell me whether the children should bring their parents. Because I think a lot of times parents can mishandle the message that I'm giving to the children and will misinterpret it and influence the children negatively. In other words, the parents unwittingly do the work of the devil. So I prayed on it. And a passage from the gospel. God, praise God, the gospel came to my mind. And Jesus said, you run down the seas of the things of the seasons. And you give to God the things of the gods. So I say to the parents, when your children come to me, you are giving to God the things of the gods. You stay home, you're giving to Caesar.
And all right, so the parents can't bring the kids. The kids will come by themselves to learn about celibacy from you because God said,
render unto Caesar the things of Caesar, the gods the things of God. I'm God's representative on earth. And when he said render to God the things of God, he meant me and other ministers. And the bottom line, Phil, the Catholic Church had any decency, they would let that Pope know the touch of a woman before he passed from this earth.
All right. Pastor William Renick, who will be having a slideshow on the debilitating effects of celibacy because Pope John Paul doesn't look too good. And when is that? This Sunday?
We'll have 2 weeks, Sunday and a week from Sunday.
Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. He can have all the slideshows he wants to have, but what about the parents not being there? I asked him, why can't the kids bring their parents? And he said, because the Bible says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. And he's God's representative on earth. 1-800-449-8686. Is celibacy something that really we shouldn't be showing or teaching to children because it hasn't been too healthy for Pope John Paul? This is the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The eighth wonder of the world. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Pastor William Renick is with us. Why, Pastor, do you say, and then we'll get to some phone calls, 1-800-449-8686, why do you say celibacy could be the work of the devil, even though Pope John Paul doesn't look all that healthy and he's been celibate? Why do you say that it could be the work of possibly the devil, celibacy, when it can keep kids from ruining their lives?
I don't know. I have prayed on it. But I can tell you, I've looked at Pope John Paul. I'm on my way to Rome, Italy right now to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Pope being in power. He don't look good. And I tell you, that's the announcements for the airplane.
Is that your jet?
No, that is not mine. But he don't look too good. And I think the fact he's not known the touch of a woman may have a lot to do with it.
All right, and what about the fact that Jesus did not have women?
Well, Jesus spent time with all kinds of people, including women of the evening. And that tells me that there would be nothing wrong with a Pope having the company of a woman. Jesus hung out with hookers. Jesus hung out with prostitutes. Jesus hung out with sodomites. Jesus hung out with homosexuals. Jesus hung out with Pharisees. Jesus hung out with all the people. And I think he had into the taste.
Are you saying he had a woman?
I don't know, but I prayed on it. But I'll tell you what, right now, Mary Magdalene didn't hang around with him because she liked the way he dressed.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, hi.
Hi,
I just have a couple comments for the Reverend. Are you ready?
I'm listening here. Is this Stephanie?
Yes, Reverend, hi. I don't understand where you're coming from when you think that celibacy is an evil act. And just hear me out here.
Reverend,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're interrupting. Could you just wait a minute?
Yeah, Reverend, please.
Reverend?
Yes, I'll listen to you, but I'm just saying, have you heard what
Reverend, I would love to listen to you. If you would just give me a minute to tell you what I heard, what I have to say,
all right,
please.
All right, I'm listening.
Okay, thank you so much.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Celibacy is such an extremely holy act that you are giving absolutely everything, all of your desires, everything over to God. You're giving your sexual desires. You're saying you want to be the father and of the church. You're saying you want to marry the church and care for those people. And the disciples were told to leave their wives, leave their jobs, leave their belongings to go and teach God's word. They were told to leave those things behind so that they could give all of who they are to God. I don't understand why that would be making him sick. Such a holy act.
Stephanie, I'd like to say, I think it's pretty sick. You calling up this program and saying you pleasure yourself to Jesus hanging off of a cross.
Jesus wants everything.
Wait a minute.
That doesn't mean I'm getting off on Jesus.
Well,
that means I love him so much.
You said you're giving all your desire to a man nailed up on a tree?
No, you're being ignorant and misunderstanding what I
said,
Reverend.
No, she didn't say that.
In the Bible, Jesus said, don't judge lest ye be judged. You are judging the Pope.
Reverend, are you a man of God?
Miss, I've got Joyful Union Congregation, a Pentecostal congregation.
Right. Okay, I'm just making sure because you seem like you're judging me, and I thought Christians didn't do that. I'm just trying to make this clear.
You are judging me.
No, I'm not. I was just wondering if you...
The Pope is the guy who's getting off on pictures of Jesus Christ and all that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Tom. Go ahead, Tom. Tom.
Phil.
Yeah, go ahead.
You said the same thing I was going to ask the Reverend, why he would go all the way to Rome to visit a guy who's an advocate of the devil, evidently, if he thinks celibacy is devil worship or something, and
gotta
Jesus
be.
Was celibate.
I think it's got to be. Jesus, as far as we know, we don't know whether he's celibate or not. There ain't nothing in the Bible says he's celibate. There ain't nothing in the historical book to say something.
Well, you seem to know everything else about him. Maybe you're hanging out with him or something.
How do you know?
That's to me, you're making a good living on this religion thing there,
right?
I think you're doing too shabby.
I think you're queer for Jesus, you know that?
Oh, now, wait a second.
Well, what's this guy talking about? How do you know what Jesus' sex habits are? You ought to read up on him or something, right? What a fact.
All right. I mean, you sound more like a...
Well, this guy said he's judging me. How did he know Jesus was celibate? I didn't know Jesus was celibate. All I know is Mary Magdalene was there, and Mary Magdalene was the one that he hung with, and he went out with her, went shopping, or what have you. If they went on a dinner date, if they went to that wedding where Jesus chained the water to the wife, who do you think his date was? Mary Magdalene, was he dropping her off at the house with a goodnight kiss? What crap?
All right, let me go over to Lynn. Lynn, go ahead.
Hi, are you doing tonight,
good,
sir?
Lynn, thank you.
I just have a couple of comments to make to the Reverend. First of all, sir, you don't seem to know the definition of sin. The Bible says that Jesus was sinless, and in that, he could not have had sex with anyone, because the Bible clearly states in the Old Testament law that to have sin with a woman, to have sex with a woman before marriage was sin.
He
was not married, it was sin. Second of all, I'm a youth pastor at a
non-denominational church. Wait a minute. If you guys start talking over each other...
She don't know that he wasn't married.
Well, there's nothing in the Bible that says Jesus got married.
Oh, give me a break.
Sir, you obviously don't know the scripture.
Oh, and you do. Every Christian I talk to is an expert on scripture.
And you call yourself a Christian, so you must be one too then, right?
I didn't say I'm an expert, but I do know my Bible. And the Bible says that you do not plow under the ground upon which the tree of life sits. I'm trying to pick me an apple from the tree of life. You're trying to plow that field under.
Let her finish, Lynn. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I just want to say that. Okay, I've got two things to say. First of all, I'm a youth pastor at a non-denominational church.
Give me one of them Krispy Kreme.
And we do not teach our children those kinds of things. We teach our children to be celibate before marriage, because that is what the scripture requires.
I'm sorry, Lynn. When you're getting food, Reverend.
I'm sorry, Phil. I wanted to get some Starbucks coffee.
All right, that's fine. But the lady's talking.
I'm sorry.
This man, he seems to call himself a preacher, but he has yet to have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, because he's so blinded by his own pride and selfishness. Parents should always, always be involved with their children's activities, including ministry at the church. If he's not allowing parents don't send your kids to wherever he's at.
Oh, wait a second. That's why the children freeze up, don't want to talk, because they got their busybody, nosy parents sitting there. They love to come to my youth ministry because it's always about the kids talking.
Sir, you don't have a youth ministry.
Yes, I do have a youth ministry.
Sir, you do not have a youth ministry. You have a cult.
Oh, is that right? Well, thank you, Jesus Christ. I didn't know you was a woman.
I'm so glad that you saw him in me.
No, I didn't see him in you. You think you are him.
No.
I had a friend of mine once who thought he was Napoleon, too.
I don't know who your friends are, sir, but you're not Christian.
I think you need, ma'am, render unto Caesar the things that is Caesar's, God the things that is God.
That's right. And you know what he was referring to right there? He was referring to taxes.
And I don't worship no golden idol. I worship the Lord. Jesus Christ.
You do not worship God. You've never prayed to God. You pray to yourself.
All right, then neither of you. You've never prayed to God either. All you do is sit around and get off on pictures of guys hanging from crosses.
All right, we don't need to go there.
Well, she just said she's saving up all her desire for Jesus getting dragged along the street and beat up.
My God is not on a cross,
sir. She gets off on seeing Roman soldiers kick Jesus in the nuts.
All right. God, this is almost blasphemous, and I'm not even that religious.
Mr. Henry, don't ever tell me about God. I know about God. I've made a hell of a lot of money. I mean, I've been...
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Renick is with us, saying that celibacy can't possibly be the way to go for young people, because the Pope has been celibate all of his life, and he looks like hell. 1-800-449-8686, and he's talking to these kids and not allowing the parents into the room. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
One of the things that Pastor Renick has said is in his youth ministry to tell kids that perhaps celibacy is not the best idea. If you take a look at the Pope, he doesn't look very healthy, and he's been celibate his entire life. You have told kids to come to the youth ministry meeting where you'll talk about this, but don't bring the parents. Now, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. How can you back up that statement, don't bring the parents?
One of Jesus' favorite things was to sit and talk with children. See, I know my Bible. And he loved children. Now, he'd tell the parents to go away while he spoke with the kids. And you know why? Because the kids was innocent and the parents were sinners. Jesus don't want to waste time talking to the folks that were hanging on a cross. He loved the children. He said, do not suffer little children to come to me. I want to talk to the innocent children so I can lay it on them real good. I don't want some people going to nail me to a cross. They're going to hang out here. Well, that's the same way I feel when I have my youth ministry. I want to talk to the children. I want to talk to the young people one-on-one and tell them all about how the Pope's all crumpled up on account of he lived a life of celibacy, and I don't need their sinning parents here. I don't need the harlots and the gamblers.
You're calling the kids' parents harlots, gamblers.
I don't want the adults in the youth ministry. All they're going to do is stink the room up with their sin. I like the little children. Phil, I'm waiting for a jetliner that's going to take me across the ocean. I want to be with Pope John Paul, along with other ecumenical ministers. We're going to say, Pope, congratulations on 25 years. You're looking good. I'd like to say that, but that'd be a lie. And God God said a lie is a sin. He don't look good. He looked like hell. You know why? He never known the touch of a woman. Now, what I tell you, when he was hanging on the cross, Jesus was quoted saying, Father, why did these sinners hang me on the cross? Damn them, Father, let them burn, but spare the children.
I thought Jesus said, forgive them.
No, he did not say that. He said, yes, he did say forgive them, but he also said, but I hate them. I hope they burn in hell. That's how I feel about the parents of these kids. The kids are innocent. And I want them to know all about how celibacy will make them look all crumpled up and look like Yoda, just like the Pope do. But I sure as hell don't want no funky, crucified Roman parents hanging around. Jesus, look at that Pope, man. He needs to crutch to prop his head up. It's wild. Really wild.
All right.
What are you laughing at? You laughing at me?
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is, you know, you have a great deal of passion for what you do. I understand that, and I appreciate that. I hear you comparing yourself, though, to Jesus.
I would never think I'm Jesus, but I am the representative of Jesus here on earth. So when I say render to God the things that are God's, I mean me. Render to me the things that are mine. Give to Caesar, but render to Pastor Rennick what are his. And when I say don't suffer the little children to come to me, that's what I'm talking about. To me. And all you parents out there, drinking, smoking, lying, cheating, hanging Jesus on the cross every day of your life.
Pastor Rennick.
Every day of your life, you're hanging Jesus on the cross. Every time you open your mouth and say you want to vote for this man or that man, you're nailing another nail into Jesus. Every time you say, I love George Bush, you put another nail into Jesus.
No, wait a second.
Every time you say, yeah, man, I love the Cubs. All the people that love the Chicago Cubs, they hammered Jesus to the cross. The Pope drooled so much, he pinned a diaper on his chest to soak it up. Would God do that to somebody? Celibacy is the work of the devil.
Pinned a diaper to his chest to soak it up.
You got that right. And that's pretty funky. A cat's got to be pretty far gone to have a diaper on his chest. Holy Jesus. I feel I hear the jetliners coming in, and they're about to, Miss Clarence telling me we're about to, all right, and I also have a one like to say, I've got with me a young lady by the name of Candy Simpson. She is a young lady from the Los Angeles area. She'll be traveling with me. She will be accompanying me to the Pope. She's a young lady who gives out favors and so on. And by the way, Pope Sewell, he's the one that taught Jonah how to fish. What do you think of that one? I'm going to tell that one at the dinner.
Yeah, that's a riot.
All right. Here I go.
Might want to hang your phone up or cut it off.
Candy's going to be my offer to the Pope. If she can't cure him, there is no God, I can tell you that. Come on, baby. Pope is so old, his Social Security number is
right. Oh, shut up. I'm going to tell that one at the dinner. There he is, Pastor William Rennick. And the Pope is not a very good argument for celibacy because he's not looking too good. He's got a diaper on his chest to soak up the drool. What do you want, man? What do you want?
This is what you love. Pope's old, he farts dust and drinks powdered milk. Now another...
Dude, I wouldn't be telling them gags at the annual... College of Cardinals dinner and cocktail reception? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
By the way, the voice of Pastor William Rennick was actually performed by me and the people that called. Real people, unprompted, unpaid. They thought he was a real guy, and in many ways he is. I like to think that these characters that we invent in our program are real people. In fact, they are. They're based on people that I've seen, that I've worked with, in some cases that I've loved. Now then, 1-800-449-8686. Check out our website and get a backstage pass. All of the great comedy we do on our show can be had there. You can be the comedy can be had there. It's only $6.95 to download and own Phil Hendry. We're not talking about just go there and listen to it. Put a disc in, burn it onto CD, do whatever you want. It's your life. All right? Get a backstage pass, $6.95 a month to download our own Phil and own the Phil Hendry Show. Also, our souvenir shop with the Teds of Beverly Hills shirts, the new bowling shirt from Honolulu. We've got the Teds of Beverly Hills barbecue set, the Teds of Beverly Hills just in time for winter, huh? The barbecue set. Oh, well. We also have the apron, the Teds of Beverly Hills apron, Citizens Auxiliary Police belt watch, bitchin' watch, man. Have you seen that thing? It's also pouch jackets, blue or black hats that proclaim you as an official member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Bobby Dooley's Western Estates gear, the polo shirts, the Western Estates Homeowners Association Golf Club polo shirt, the spa at Western Estates robe, the tote bag, and many, many more things. There at our souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com. Right now, as we talk to you, it's No Score, Sox and Yankees. And coming up later on in the program, Steve Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, who is filing a class action lawsuit against the Chicago Cubs. As a longtime fan, he says that he and many fans have had it. Interesting. Also, I provide an answer to the problem that the Cubs have. I will tell you later on in our show what the Cubs need to do to get to a World Series. It ain't got nothing to do with players. It doesn't have anything to do with personnel. It doesn't have anything to do with front office. I'll give you the news on what they got to do to get back to the World Series. When I say back to the World Series, 1945. So it's the Sox and the Yanks right now. I guess I want to see the Sox because it'd be cool to see them win the series. But you know what? I don't even watch these things anyway, so I'd rather watch indoor football than the World Series. More news from Iraq. Morale is down, according to a poll. Morale is down. They can't get that message across to us enough. Morale is down. Morale is down. The soldiers feel bad. The soldiers don't know this. They don't want that. They don't, you know, everything is bad. Bad, 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 bad. They did a poll. It was unscientific. Some guys said that they don't want to re-enlist. And so from that, they take it to mean that the morale is low among our soldiers. Let me tell you something. The morale of American soldiers directly reflects the morale of the American people. No other country in the world are the people as tied closely to their military as the American people are. We have a civilian commander-in-chief. We were the first country ever to have a civilian commander-in-chief. We have a history and tradition of citizen soldiers in this country that goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War. And so the American people and their military are very close. And when we're sitting around pissing and moaning, well, I don't understand why we're there. Why don't you shut up and get some facts? Look, if you are against the U.S. deployment in Iraq, then you have to say why. You got to say why you're against it. If you're feeling uneasy and queasy, then you got to know why you're uneasy and queasy. Maybe your thumb's been parked up your rear end too long. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that other guy. It isn't good enough to say the mission isn't clear. It's been made imminently clear time and over again, ad nauseum, why we're there. It's been spelled out. It's been crayoned. It's been spray-painted on the walls. It's been sent in telegrams. It's been sent in emails. What part of the explanation of why we're in Iraq don't people understand? And by the way, if you didn't know why we're in Iraq, maybe it was made clear to you in the Gaza Strip yesterday. Three Americans blown into pizza toppings. Three Americans. They weren't murdered in Israel by Israeli military. They weren't killed in Israel by members of the Israeli army. They weren't killed in Israel by members of the Israeli Navy. They were killed by Palestinian militia, terrorists. And you know what their crime was? You know what big, overwhelming, horrible crime the big, bad, terrible Americans were doing? They were in Palestine, they were in the West Bank, they were in Gaza, I should say, trying to interview Palestinian kids to see who would get a Fulbright scholarship to come and study in the United States. And that hasn't just been happening for a year. That hasn't been happening for 2 years. That's been happening for decades to Americans. You know, sometimes, baby, people don't like it just because you got a lot. And sometimes you got a lot because you worked for it. We can't make a move anymore in this country without somebody saying we got there by a criminal act. We can't have success. We can't have money. We can't have a good society where kids are raised and comparatively speaking in peaceful surroundings without somebody accusing us of having committed genocide to get there. Look, if you're feeling guilty about your wonderful life, do me a favor, will you? Go visit a freaking pizza parlor in Israel someday, huh? And just be hanging around when some guy in a black coat walks in, all sweaty and nervous. So if you're against the U.S. deployment in Iraq, you got to know why. And American people don't know why. The ones that are against the U.S. deployment in Iraq don't know why. I could say, why are you against it? Because the mission isn't clear. Well, then you're stupid because you haven't been listening to what people have been saying. Why are you against the U.S. deployment in Iraq? It doesn't seem to be doing anything. Well, you're wrong again, because if you actually went over there, you'd see that the Iraqi people have more electrical output today than ever before, more bridges, more roads. The schools are opening at a more rapid clip. They have more of everything, including food. There's an old saying that an American soldier had been in Iraq told me. The Iraqis say to themselves, every day is better than the next. The only thing that the Iraqis have got that's working against them is a guy by the name of Saddam Hussein. He doesn't want his people to be successful. He doesn't want his people to prosper. He blew up a pipeline today. It's a major source of revenue for the Iraqi people. It used to be a major source of revenue for Saddam Hussein. Now maybe we can give the money over to them. So what did he do? He blew up the pipeline. They even got new currency now that doesn't have that scumbag's picture on it. And the United Nations today voted to send aid, a United Nations package to send a rebuilding, reconstruction aid package. The United Nations voted for that today in the Security Council. Get a load of this, a vote of 15-0. There were no vetoes, and that included Syria. Now, what does that tell you? The reality of what's happening in Iraq is quite different from what the American people think they know. Every time you bum on this thing, it gets back to our guys. Because like I said, we are very closely tied to our military. Our friends, our brothers, our sisters, our fathers, our mothers, our daughters, our dogs, our cats, everybody, at one time or another, has served in the United States military. Great tradition of it, as I said, of citizen soldiers. That's what makes it a tremendous military. Guys that used to be grease monkeys, another guy was, operating a tow truck, another guy was a doctor, some other guy was an accountant. All of these people go into the military, do their hitch, and it sometimes saved the freaking world in the process. So when the stuff gets over to those guys, the American people are kind of down on the whole thing. Of course they're going to be bummed out. Because they start asking themselves, what the hell am I doing here? If we were supporting them, they wouldn't care what they were up against. These guys have got balls. They got balls of steel. They wouldn't care who was being thrown against them. If we could just give them a little support, for God's sake, and not whine because our McDonald's cheeseburger didn't get here in 3 minutes. But despite the ignorance of the American people, which is sometimes legendary, the world moves forward. The United Nations voted an aid package today. The work of rebuilding Iraq continues today. The Iraqi people are far outnumber the people who are in favor of us being there, far outnumber anybody who's against us. And the people who are in favor of us being there were the people that were trod upon by Hussein, poor people, lower middle class people, the ones that that don't want us there are the wealthy, the Ba'ath Party members, the ones that don't get to ride around a Mercedes anymore. In other words, Saddam's family. And they got bridges and they got schools and they got the whole darn thing. I hear they're going to open up a McDonald's. And what do we get for our problems? Three Americans killed in the Gaza Strip. And let me tell you how much of a screw-up that is. Hezbollah and Hamas don't take any responsibility for it. They don't want to know. We didn't do it. We didn't do it. And Arafat said he's sorry. And see, the last thing they need is to get us angry. And all these cats are talking about how we support the Jews. What the hell are you talking about, man? Of course we support Israel. Who else are we going to support over there? You got any ideas? The Palestinians? Why? Why would I support the Palestinian Authority when those guys are nothing but a bunch of dictators when they're all they're walking around there with their toy pistols and their tablecloth on their head. Forget it, man. Hey, we should support them. They just butchered up three Americans the other day. A bomb blew up an American convoy, a diplomatic convoy. Do you know how much? I mean, that's asking for it. That's begging for it. That's pleading for it. Kind of like that girl that was in Kobe's room, right, Kobe? All right, coming up, will a lighter touch, the Chicago Cubs and why they ought to be sued for $100 million, as well as the answer to their quandary, what they need to do to get into the World Series. And don't forget, coming soon, the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio, available soon on our website to benefit my friend's place. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I've heard of the Cincinnati Bengals being sued because they're not a good football team. I've heard of bands like Creed and one other band, I forget, that got sued. Oh, yeah, Limp Bizkit, because the fans didn't think they were any good. This is the first baseball team that a fan is contemplating a lawsuit against. The team, the Chicago Cubs, and the gentleman we have on the phone from Corona, California, is Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor. You are threatening a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit, correct, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, Phil, this would be brought against the not only the Chicago Cubs Baseball Club, also the Tribune Company, and who are co-owners in the Chicago Sports Authority.
Do you have a monetary figure?
We are considering a figure of $200 million.
And you've included also another individual, Roy Hutchins?
That is correct. We've also drawn Kobe Bryant into the lawsuit as well, because we feel that his influence in the news media had a lot to do with the ultimate pain and suffering that I think a lot of sports fans are feeling, especially Cub fans.
Well, what is it exactly your attorney's going to show when she goes into this courtroom?
Well, we'll show that the Cubs, the Chicago Cub Baseball Club, have lied about how good they are. We will show that their inept play has caused emotional pain and inability to earn a living for many Cub fans. We will also show that they have played just good enough to induce millions of Americans to wager large amounts of money on their success, only to get robbed of that money.
You mentioned the incident the other night where the fan interfered with the ball.
Yes, sir. If you look at that play on the replay, you would think that the Cubs were going to disappoint their fans again, because it looked like that interference would have caused them to lose the game. But I took that as an omen, and a lot of Cub fans are that positive. I took that as an omen that they would win, and that's just another mountain for them to climb. So as a result, I subsequently wagered with this gentleman, Mr. Roy Hutchins, and I subsequently lost, and I was forced into a position where I could humiliate myself.
All right, now, to clear up, Roy Hutchins is a neighbor of yours, correct?
He is my next-door neighbor, yes, sir.
And did you lose, you lost money to Mr. Hutchins?
No, sir, I did not.
What was the wager?
We had a wager on this final game last evening, one which the Cubs led me to believe would be won, because everyone said that it was for sure. The Cubs had not won a World Series since 1908, and if ever there was a team destined, this was it. So I wagered with this man.
Well, can I ask you again? It wasn't monetary, right? It wasn't.
No, sir. It wasn't. The wager was, and it was completely ridiculous, and there was no way that it would happen. He said that if I lost the wager, that he was having a costume party at his home on Halloween, and that he wanted to go dressed as Kobe Bryant, and that I would have to go dressed as the girl that Kobe Bryant supposedly raped. It was obviously sexist and against women.
Did you agree to this wager, sir? That you would dress up as the woman that Kobe Bryant had sex with?
If
you lost the bet on the game last night.
Yes, sir. And because there was no way the Cubs were going to lose. And they lost last night. And as of this morning, I received a phone call, and I told my attorney, and I wrote down, which I consider to be harassment.
With a phone call from who?
This was from Mr. Hutchins.
And what did he say?
He hung up the phone after he said, bend over the chair and drop your panties.
All right. Is this why you've included Mr. Bryant in your lawsuit, sir?
Yes, sir, because Mr. Bryant, by his notoriety, induced Mr. Hutchins to humiliate me and lead me to believe that he wants to rape me.
All right, Mr. Bozell, this neighbor may be having a joke on your diehard love of the Chicago Cubs, that's all.
Well, maybe, but why did he call my house a few hours ago? As well, he's saying things like, you're not going to tell anyone, are you? You're not going to tell anyone, are you? And that's what Mr. Bryant is alleged to have said. And then he made what can only be described as a grunting sound. He hung up.
You say you've been humiliated by the Chicago Cubs.
That is correct. As have millions of Cub fans.
As well as a next-door neighbor who you wagered the Cubs would win the game last night, or you'd dress up as the woman that Kobe Bryant had sex with, and he'd dress as Kobe, and you'd go to a costume party together, correct?
Yes, sir. And I didn't think that he was serious.
But you were so certain the Cubs are going to win the game. Just hold on.
That is correct, sir, and I didn't think at the time he's going to hold me to it.
All right. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. This man is considering suing the Chicago Cubs for losing because they have disappointed their fans yet again. Since 1945, Mr. Bozell, the Cubs have not been to a World Series.
That is correct. They have not been to won a World Series since 1908, and the law of averages would say that they would win a World Series or get to the World Series. The law of averages would say that. So when I bet Mr.
That's what I want to get to, the Mr. Hutchins bet, and we'll get to the Cubs. You bet Mr. Hutchins that you'd dress up in this ridiculous manner.
And this was an attempt to humiliate me, and also it was against women.
All right, but you bet him that you would dress up in this ridiculous manner, and he'd dress up like Kobe Bryant, you'd go together, and you lost the bet. And now you're claiming that you shouldn't have to pay the bet off because it's...
Well, I have no intention. I'm suing him for humiliating me. I'm suing Mr. Kobe Bryant for humiliating me as well. Also, we are suing the Cubs because they're liars, and I think it's time that everybody know it. We'll show that they played bad, which has caused emotional pain, and my inability to earn a living for a lot of Cub fans, not just me. I have made wagers of a lot of money down through the years, and I've lost those wagers as well.
You have a figure here in the neighborhood of $120,000?
That is the...
That's the amount of money that you figure you've lost on Cub bets over the years?
Yes, sir.
Are you asking the Cubs to reimburse you?
Oh, absolutely. Now, we are prepared, through my attorney, Dolores Blandengame of Riverside, California, to take this to the California Supreme Court. We can do it. We can go federal with this. We can do whatever they want to do. But the Chicago Cubs have made me look like a fool, and they've made a lot of other people look like a fool. And not only that, I'm $120,000 lighter today since the day I set eyes on them. Number two, I have an individual who is treating me like a rape, you know, like he raped me. And he wants me to dress up like I'm a, you know, his little girl.
Well, but that was the bet that you guys made. You know, men make bets a lot. I mean, they're silly bets, and they always have something to do with one guy dressing up. And
well, I'm aware of that, but there's no way I was going to lose this bet.
Well, but when you made that bet, you didn't consider the possibility that the Cubs might lose?
Sir, there's no reason why the Cubs should have lost that game last night, except for the fact that they're liars, that they don't...
Are you saying the Cubs know how bad they are, but they lie to their fans?
I
mean, that's what you're saying. You're saying that the Cubs know how terrible they are, but they're lying to their fans about how terrible they are. If that's the case, how did they make it to the National League Championship?
I don't know. And that's the part that I think is so devious about this. The Cubs are liars, and they're lying to me, and they're making me look like a fool along with all other Cub fans, and I think they know what they're doing. I can't understand it. No other team. You look at the Florida Marlins, they're about ready to win their second World Series, and they haven't been around since, like 2 years ago or whatever.
Well, the Marlins started, I think, in 95.
I'm sorry?
The Marlins started in 95, but your point's made.
Yeah, 1995. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How humiliating is that for me to be a Cub fan? And on top of that, Mr. Hutchins, I will tell you that my son and my daughter both made a couple of statements which I blame on Roy Hutchins.
And what did they say?
They asked, they heard about the bet, and they want to know what color panties I was going to wear and the Halloween costume. This has humiliated me in front of my children.
Okay, hold on for a minute, Mr. Bozell. Stephen Bozell suing the Chicago Cubs for $200 million because he says they're liars, they know how bad they are, and they don't tell their fans. He's suing Roy Hutchins, his next-door neighbor, who won a bet with him on last night's game. Mr. Bozell here is going to have to go dressed as the woman that Kobe Bryant had sex with to a Halloween party. He's also suing Kobe Bryant because his notoriety caused this next-door neighbor to come up with this idea of Steve dressing as a rape victim. He also says that his children have humiliated him, his son asking him, what color panties are you going to wear to the party, Dad? All of this coming down to the fact that he is also asking, by the way, did you see this one, Chris? He's asking for $120,000 in lost wager money that he lost on the Cubs over the years. This is, like I say, a lawsuit that is unique, but fans are starting to sue ball clubs because they're no good. This man not only wants to sue him, he wants his money back on bets that he's made. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The last gasp before the death of radio.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Steve Bozell with us. You lost the bet. You lost the bet on the Cub game last night, Mr. Bozell. Your neighbor wants you to dress like the woman Kobe Bryant had sex with, and he's going to dress like Kobe Bryant. Why is that humiliating? You think it's because he considers you to be what?
Well, I think it's obvious, sir. Yeah.
In other words, he considers you to be his little girl.
The kids say he thinks that I'm his bitch. Because I lost this bet. My daughter, who I love very much, just called me on my cell phone, and she's laughing with her friends and said, Daddy, Grandma has a pretty dress that might fit you. And she's laughing, and Grammy has a pretty dress. And all I can do is just, I pulled over to the side of the road, and I just broke down. Because it's so humiliating.
All right, a $200 million lawsuit against the Chicago Cubs that this man is... Sir, I understand you're upset, okay?
Yes, sir.
But we need to move on with the phone calls here.
Yes, sir, I understand it.
$200 million, and a friend said you got to dress up like Kobe Bryant's girlfriend or that woman that he allegedly had sex with. 1-800-449-8686. Deanna, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell.
I'm sorry for Mr. Bozell, but I think he's causing himself even more pain and suffering by going ahead with this lawsuit because no one forced him to agree to this bet, and he's done this on his own accord, and he's just making even more of a fool of himself
by
going ahead with this. No one made you do it.
Okay.
No one made you make bets over the years, so that is your loss.
Wrong.
That is your doing.
All right, I see that differently, ma'am. First of all, the Cubs go all over the place saying how good they are. We're good at this. We're good at that. We're so great. We're so great. After a while, people have a reason to believe it. And they're liars. And I bet all that money. Look at all the people that were crying last night who thought the Cubs are going to win. And then they're crying. Why? Because the Cubs lied to them and played bad. So I think they owe the fans some money. On top of that, my next-door neighbor thinks I'm his jail bitch, and excuse my language.
Yeah, remember you're talking to a lady.
I'm sorry, but he wants me to get into a dress?
I'm sorry, sir, but still, you agreed to that bet. You know, if you made the bet and said that, yes, I will do this,
right,
then he's just holding you to what you said. I mean, I don't agree with the man calling you and saying what he did. That was disrespectful, but... if you made the bet and said that you would go through with this,
what about
then expect to pay up.
What about
and the fans should know that no matter how good someone says they are, they could always lose. That is how competition works.
That's true. And
what about my own son saying, oh, what color panties are you going to wear, Daddy?
Well, that's your son showing disrespect to you.
Yes.
He should not do that.
Yeah. Tell him, you know
that's
what?
That's an issue that you should take up with your children because they should not, they should respect you as their father and not make fun of you.
Yeah.
But yes, but then again, the ball club is not responsible for that. And neither is Kobe Bryant. He does not know you. He cannot affect your life unless you allow him to.
Well, the minute he pulled that girl's dress up, he sucked me into his life.
No, he didn't. You sucked yourself into his life.
Deanna, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Rod, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, who is this?
I'm Phil Hendry.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
And your guest name is?
Mr. Roselle?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Roselle, you don't know me, but my name's Rod, and I just got done listening to what you were talking about.
My name's Stephen Boselle, sir.
I'm sorry, Stephen. You're thinking about suing the Cubs and Kobe Bryant for this stuff that you're betting on.
Well, yeah, but the Cubs have been telling everybody how good they are, and they're not good.
Well, it's a game, bud. I mean, come on, wake up and smell the coffee. You're betting on a game. There is nothing in this world that is guaranteed, and you're taking it to the court system saying that everything that is put in front of me is guaranteed. You need to wake up, buddy.
Well,
it is not guaranteed.
First of all, Kobe Bryant would never have, I'd never care about him until he sucked me into his life the minute he pulled that skirt up on that girl. Now, all of a sudden, he's got me involved.
And you're suing Kobe Bryant for something that people are accusing him of doing, which may or may not have happened, and you're going to sue him for that?
I'm suing him because my next-door neighbor, as terms of the bet that I lost, wants me to dress like the girl that Kobe Bryant had the sex with.
And you're going to do this?
Well, what am I supposed to do? I can't Welsh.
Look it.
Come on, dude. I mean, you're a grown man. You've raised kids. You got a family. It's time for you to say, I'm not going to do this. You can't sue people for losing a bet on something that is so ridiculous it's out of this world.
Well, if you shake hands with a guy, don't you have to do it?
Look it. If the guy, you know, the guy wants you to go to a party in a skirt, I bet you anything if you called him up and said, look, dude, you're not really serious, he'd probably say, no, I'm not.
Well, then how come he called my house this morning and said, you know, I'm going to bend you over a chair and all that stuff?
So you're really going to do this?
All I'm saying is my son calls me up and says, what color panties are you wearing? My daughter says she's got her. My daughter told me she'd hem the skirt on my costume.
Well, maybe your kids are trying to tell you that you need to tell this guy that, hey, I'm better than that, and I'm not going to do this.
Oh, great. Now I welch it on bets. I'll never be able to place another bet in this town. You know
that. Well, then don't place another bet.
Wait a minute. You telling me no bookie is going to take your money because some guy, you won't get into a dress for a guy?
Who cares about a bookie taking my money, man?
Word spreads.
Yeah.
Who cares about a bookie taking my money? I'm going to watch the game for what it is.
I got $120,000 that I've given to bookmakers because the Cubs are liars.
So whose fault is that? Is that
the Cubs'
fault that you lost all that money?
Yes, sir, because after a while, are you kidding me? Are you trying to tell me they don't think they're going to win?
All right. Look, Rod, thank you for your call. Clearly, the question here is, among many questions, were you humiliated by Kobe Bryant because you had to get into a dress or something? And the $120,000 you wager on the Cubs you've lost, clearly the question is, are you a fool for betting on the Cubs, or are the Cubs truly culpable here?
Well, Mr. Henry, I don't know what any of that meant that you just said. All I know is that the Cubs owe me, and they owe me big. And
all right, well, never mind then. Let me go over to Chris. Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Oh, what's going on, man?
Yes, sir.
This is Chris from Detroit.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, are you a true Cubs fan, you say?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, I'm a Cubs fan.
You're a Cubs fan?
Yeah.
I'm from Detroit. I'm a Detroit Tigers
fan.
You know
the
Tigers record this year,
by the
right?
way, it's called Detroit, not Detroit.
Jeez. It's Detroit. I'm from Detroit.
No, dude.
That's where I'm from. I'm
black?
Right there right now.
Are you black?
No, I'm not black.
Then
it doesn't matter if I'm black or white, man. I'm talking about baseball right now.
You don't call it Detroit. You call it Detroit.
Well, yeah, forget
I call
about it.
Detroit.
It.
Whatever, man. But look, I'm a Tigers fan.
Nice for
you. And you know their record this year, right?
Yeah, they're horrible.
Yeah, they were horrible. I'm not suing anybody because I'm a true fan.
Well, if you want to be stupid, that's your problem.
No, it's because I chose because I knew they weren't going to be that good, I didn't choose to go and blow all my money on them.
Hey, let me ask something. Do you like Ted Nugent?
What?
Do you like Ted Nugent?
Yeah, I like Ted Nugent.
Okay, because he's from around there, ain't he?
He's from around there.
Yeah, because the song that I remembered from him so very deeply, give me Cat Scratch Fever. No, no, no. You know that song?
Yeah.
Okay. This guy, Hutchins, calls me up, says I got to get into a dress, I got to get into pumps and a purse. And he starts going, you give me Cat Scratch Fever. And my son's standing there. I just wanted to cry.
Well, you know what, man? You made the bet. I don't care if you thought the Cubbies were going to win or not.
Don't you think you should sue the Tigers because they're a pack of lying, no-good pieces of crap telling you to go after their ball games? They stink.
No, because I choose to go and I choose to watch the games because I'm a fan of baseball and I'm a fan of the Tigers.
Well, Hutchins said he's going to put an eggplant in his pants as part of his costume, and I'm doomed to take an eggplant because of the freaking Cubs.
Well, no, you're doomed. Because you chose to make a stupid
right.
bet.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. It's me, Phil Henry.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
You are at the bus station, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Why?
I just wanted to clear my head. I want to get away. When you got a man calling up your home saying, you know, here's Kobe and everything like that. Stop running.
Is that him now?
Yeah, he's here. We want him. Let's go home. No, I'm not coming with you.
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead, sir. Damon?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm just laughing. This guy's going to ruin the sports entertainment business. I mean, he's going to sue every team that ever loses. They need to put disclaimers on all the tickets.
There is precedent. There are people who are suing professional sports franchises because they are not giving a proper return. Keep in mind that these ball clubs are subsidized in many instances by tax money.
Well, this is just an entertainment business, and that's part of the rivalry of the sports. Is you and the other guy, you both say you're great. Who's going to be great? Well, whoever wins. And what is your concept of good or great? If I say I'm great, I might think I'm great. Doesn't mean you think I'm great.
Okay, this guy Hutchins has followed me to the bus station because he wants me to get a skirt on.
You deserve to wear a skirt. You made a lousy bet. You need to stick to it and then never bet again and quit watching sports. Sounds like you need to start watching figure skating, something that you don't have to worry about the competition level too much.
So there you go. You're calling me gay, too.
Well,
I don't know what you're thinking.
This is the best entertainment I've heard on a radio show. I can't believe you're serious.
Man, you got to sue for $200 million. There isn't going to be a jury in the world that's going to give you,
yeah, that's exactly right. They may not give me $200 million. They may give me $50 million, but the point is, come on, Steve, leave me alone.
The bad part is they're probably going to pay him off early anyway just to keep him to shut his mouth.
Well, that's the part that I don't like. It'll be a courthouse step lawyering where they'll give you a few million.
Wait a minute. This is a class action suit. Leave me alone, Roy. This is a class action suit representing Cub fans everywhere. Don't ever cut my ass.
Now I'm a Cubs fan. I want to fight for that guy as well then.
Yeah, okay, see how honest you are? You aren't honest at all.
I like the Cubs. I like Sammy Sosa. Hey, just like everybody else. I bet some money on him. I lost $20. You going to reimburse me?
I've lost $120,000, and I'm the guy that's having to get into a skirt.
You might need to go see a psychiatrist is what you probably need.
Why do you say?
But Mr. Bozell, you were obsessing over something. Are you telling me this guy followed you to the airport?
I'm at a bus station. He's here. What do you want? He says that my wife wants me to come home.
What are you running away?
Hey, while you're at it, see your kids, too, for defamation of character. They're embarrassing you.
Okay. Do you have kids?
I do have kids.
Yeah? Do you love them? Why are you laughing?
Why am I laughing? You've got to be kidding me.
Mr. Bozell, sir.
Why are you laughing at me?
Mr. Bozell, if you want your children to be proud of you...
Look at him. He's got a Kobe jersey on and an eggplant hanging out of his pants.
If you want your children to be proud of you, then you need to act like a man.
Well, this guy says that I deserve to wear a skirt.
Not only do you deserve to wear a shirt, but you need to take pictures and send them out to all your friends.
Say that again, sir.
They need to take pictures of him wearing the skirt and send it out to all his friends.
Oh, God. Thanks a lot, Damon.
All right, have a good one.
Yeah, I got the panties, okay? Now leave me alone.
Get rid of this guy. Get rid of him before we're all infected with whatever he's got. Steve Bozell suing the Cubs for $200 million. You know what? I thought it was a pretty good idea, the $200 million. And then I heard that he wanted to also sue his neighbor for making him wear panties and Kobe for dragging him into Kobe's life. By the way, right now, as I say, we may be on tape delay some places. It's 4-0 Red Sox over the Yankees. Ha, ha, ha! It'll be a delight to see the Sox go down to the Marlins. Because you know that's coming, don't you? I'd like to see the Sox get in the series just to see them lose 4 straight to Florida. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Taking talk radio to the next level. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I don't know if you missed it, but yesterday we had a historical show in which my program director, David G. Hall, came on the air with me and asked me to stop talking about sports negatively. As you know, I have campaigned against criminal and immoral athletes in professional sports. He doesn't want me to do it anymore because he says a lot of people are losing money on games they're betting because I'm making the players nervous. In fact, he insisted that I stop because he's losing money.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Does David G. Hall have a boss above him? If he does, I hope the man calls the station tonight and fires the ass because he is talking way out of line. He should not talk to you this way, and he should not be censoring you.
All right, let me, can I ask you to watch your language?
Yeah, thank you. If you hadn't said something, I would. Look at the gun.
Well, I still think he should be fired. I don't think he should have a job come tomorrow morning.
Why should I be fired? Because Henry made
because
me bet on the
you
Yankees?
Are making an idiot of yourself. You're scolding a person on the air. If you want to have this conversation, it should be in person and not on the air.
I asked him if he wanted to have it in private, and he said, no, let's go ahead and talk about it on the air.
Well, it just shows how stupid you really are because... There's no way he should be responsible for your gambling debts, and as far as insulting your audience and saying that we subsidize our income by gambling, I'm sorry, I'm more intelligent than that. I learned a long time ago, you don't gamble. A gamble is exactly what it means. You have money to lose, and if you lose, that's part of gambling.
Hold on for a minute. There you go. That didn't feel better? I mean,
David, what the lady said makes a lot of sense.
Really? You've never played bingo, huh, Libby?
Oh, yes, but I don't gamble with money that I don't have to lose.
You gamble? That's what bingo is. It's gambling. Hey,
well, I got news for you. What Phil Henry says has no bearing on it. I'm sure he really affected Brett Favre last Sunday in the Packer game, and the Packers were sure of the ones the favorite to win, weren't they?
Tell me the truth. You lost your teeth in that Tampa game, didn't you?
No, I didn't lose any money on the Packer game because I'm smart enough not to play a bet.
You lost your teeth in the Tampa game.
No, all right, I didn't even watch the stupid game.
Which game did you watch? The Packer game?
Sure.
I lost 500 fish on that game, too.
Well, that's fine. That's part of being sports. You lose some, you win some.
You know the difference between a Lexus and a Pinto? That's what gambling can do. You're either driving a Lexus or a Pinto. And I was
I'll take my Chevy Suburban any day so I don't have to drive your Lexus or your Pinto. I earn my money and I pay for what I have. And I don't depend on gambling to support anything.
All right, I can prove that you're lying to me. What city do you live in?
I live in Madison, Wisconsin.
There it is, right there. What did I say? Rural whites.
Madison, Wisconsin ain't rural. Madison, Wisconsin is a city.
Oh, yeah, okay. I guess, technically...
I thought between two cities.
All right, look, if this lady...
I still think David G. Hall needs to be fired, and I think his superiors should do it on the air so that everybody knows that he's gone.
Right. They can fire me, but I want Phil Henry to apologize to Warren Sapp right now, or he has to cut me a check for $1,500.
No, he doesn't. No, he has his opinion, and I'm sure Mr. Sapp could care less what his opinion is.
I'm at $1,500. I apologize.
David, I am not going to give...
You lost $1,500. So what?
Ma'am,
If you don't have $1,500 to lose, you should have bet.
Look at this. 7-6 Boston. God, I hate them.
Well, I got news for you. I hate your attitude tonight. Yeah, and I tell you this much. I would.
You're driving a Ford 150 with a bumpers held on with duct tapes. And don't BS me with your Suburban.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
And David's still losing his shorts. Boston 4, Yankees nothing. Shorts, underwear, everything, man. Taking it square. Taking it like a man. Boston. Baston, 4, Yanks, zip. Baston goes to the series, and those bastards will lose to the Marlins. How about them apples? I know we have listeners in New England. I love you all, but come on. Sox will find a way. They'll find a way like the Cubs do to lose. And I said, and I told you I'd give you the reason why the Cubs lose and what they need to do. Now, let's see. I did it already. Let's see, 5, 6, 8, 9. I'll give it to you. And here it is. The Cubbies need to bulldoze Wrigley Field, and the Sox need to bulldoze Fenway Park and get into the 23rd century, get some luxury boxes, get some multi-level food courts, get some cannons that go off. Let's go, baby, let's go. Ooh, are you guys kidding with those 25,000-seat stadiums? And the green monster doesn't scare anybody, okay? The only thing it scares is the guy, that the Red Sox player that's got to play out under it. And for all of the Ted Williams of the world, you guys have got to get into a World Series. You got to get rid of that green monster. Bulldoze that thing and build a big, multi-purpose, multi-million dollar stadium somewhere out in the middle of the sticks in New England, just the way the Patriots did. And don't tell me the Sox don't have the money for it. Or is that the reason why they keep rolling over for the Yankees, rolling over and just putting a pillow under their waist for the Yankees? Because they ain't got the money? Right now, though, they're doing a good job, and we'll see them in a World Series against the Florida Marlins. And, of course, the Marlins will beat them. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, by the way, that was me doing the voice of David Hall and was also me doing the voice there of Steve Bozell. And the people that call are real, unprompted, unpaid people who believe this to be a completely bona fide radio show. And in many ways, our show is realer and more honest than any on the air. You know why? Because we say it's a joke. Everybody else wants you to think it's for real until they get caught with 2 feet in their mouth, and then they say, "Oh well, you know, we were just kidding." Coming soon, the death of Coming soon, the death of the Phil Henry Show. I hope you'll be here for it. No, the death of talk radio is our new 2003 CD. The best of CD earns money for my friend's place. All the money that we raise through the sale of my friend's place CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. We don't get any money. 100% of the proceeds, after we pay for the production cost of the CD, but then the production house gets that money. Once they duplicate the CD for us, we pay them off, and all the money extra over the top of that goes directly to my friend's place. It's a great charity. It's a great group of people. They're in Hollywood, California. They service homeless and street kids in Hollywood. Most of these kids come from all over the country, from all over the United States and Canada. They come out to Hollywood. They want to be big. I guess they want to make it on a CBS Movie of the Week or something. And, you know, it don't quite work out. So whatever you can afford, we really appreciate that. But don't be too cheap. All right, thank you. And like I said, even if you don't like our show, and by the way, this year our CD is yet again a double CD. And it's our best ever. And Mark has just put the finishing touches on it. We've got the artwork in production, and this baby will be ready, I figure, in about 4 weeks. And it's another double CD for the same price as the single went 2 years ago. So I think, you know, the material is so fantastic on this show now that we can do double CDs. Year in, year out, over and over and over and over again. And then we're going to come out with a video next year, and it'll just be me lounging around my home. It'll be a tour of my house. And there's a home run by the Yankees, and so it's 4-1 Boston. Okay, Yanks, way to come back. Speaking of movies and the Cubs and baseball and all of this BS you guys have been listening to, oh, first let me do this. Silicone breast implants are back. Yes, ladies? You remember when the FDA and Sally Kirkland and all these people were saying that silicone was causing all kinds of creeping disease in women? Well, guess what? It ain't. And they're coming back. Now, you know the silicone breast implant. They look so real. And they're on their way back. I want to say this, and I just... It's kind of tough for me to say this to ladies, because women are very... You know, it's important for a woman to... You know, her looks are important, and looks are important to men. You know how bad a bad toupee looks on a guy's head? That's how bad a bad breast job looks. Do you know how you kind of snicker when you see a guy's bad toupee? That's how some guys kind of roll their eyes when they see Miss Missile Breast. Miss Volleyball Breast, you know? Also, men need to know this, and I'm going to be very delicate. When a woman gets a breast job like that, the sensitivity is all gone. It is no longer an erogenous zone. So you can do whatever you want, pal, and think that it's turning her on. It ain't. She's being patient with you. When a breast job, when two boobs look like a couple of midget heads stuffed in your shirt, it's a bad boob job. Like punching, maybe you could use them as punching bags, I don't know. So the sensitivity is gone. There's no reciprocal pleasure. What's the point? And plus, it feels like, what? Like a couple of freaking softballs, man. Like, huh? Like a Stretch Armstrong doll. Yes, Stretch Armstrong doll. So please, please, please. Now anyway, here's the great hypocrisy and the humor of all of this. The silicone breast implants. They're coming back after an 11-year ban. The United States FDA. Now you guys that don't think this is interesting at all, you really need to know this, because if your wife wants to go out and get a breast job, I mean, you may want to shop and compare. You know what I'm saying? And ladies, believe me, if we have any listening, you know, if you're going to get a breast job, get the one that Chris's wife got. Now, anyway, I'm kidding. I don't mean any disrespect, Chris. You like it, don't you? All right. They rock, he says. They feel like rocks. Okay, good. The United States FDA got it wrong because there was a panic. They panicked about these breast implants. Now, guess what they're saying? Hey, I know. We are going to track every woman with a breast implant from silicone, and we'll make sure that she stays healthy, because God forbid that these women come down with diseases as the result of these breast implants. So we're going to track them, and you guys that produce these silicone breast implants, brother, you better just watch your step. By the way, Philip Morris, nice job this year, another $200 billion. Now, as I was saying, we're going to track the health of people. Hey, how about tracking my health, man? I've been smoking since I was 14. Oh, you ain't tracking that? Oh, okay. By the way, ladies, go to a female doctor, get saline implants, and get them huge. Your husband will love you. You'll never regret it. Forget silicone. And these male plastic surgeons, my understanding is most of them are gay. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. So, Fan Interference is a movie that is coming out, and this is going to be, can you believe this, man? Not 24 hours, going to come out with a movie about that poor schlub that interfered with the ball. Kevin James is going to be the guy in this flick. You know the guy that's on that show? What's it called? King of Queens. Variety said it would tell the story of a fan who screws up an easy out and then has to deal with the ramifications. In the eighth inning of Tuesday's game, as you know, Steve Bartman, some poor clown, he hit the ball and, you know, whatever. Cub players and baseball and the fans think that it's what caused... I told you what caused the Cubs to go south. Anyway, Revolution Studios has accepted a pitch for a movie tentatively titled Fan Interference. So who knows? It might be good. It might be lousy. Here's the thing. It's going to be on CBS, so most likely it'll be lousy. Now, on the other side of the ledger, there's a movie coming out about the Jason Blair, that clown, that writer. And I said, well, who cares? Until Chris told me it's going to be on Showtime. Now, that's what I call a TV movie. No commercials, and you're having a blast. There's nudity, and they can say poo-poo and da-da, and they can say all the bad words. They can say tinkle. So I'm going to watch that. Forget about you, CBS. Until you say starts really stretching the limits and saying tinkle on the air, then kiss my tinkle. Email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.